Naval Intelligence's security cams, and also managed to dupe both Deputy Director Isom and Vice Admiral Screed.
Perhaps I should have made him a moth after all, the Emperor said with obvious sarcasm. He might have had a brilliant career if ambition hadn't brought him down.
Tarkin adopted a tight smile. My lord, the fact that you saw fit to promote me certainly figured into his plan to even the score, as it were. The Emperor nodded.
Ironic, is it not, that his attempts to increase his own cachet should end up benefiting so many of his seeming competitors?
It was true. Naval intelligence had been folded back into military intelligence, and Colonel Wolf Yularen had been designated to take Rancid's place as deputy director. Harris Eisen had been moved into the ubiquitate. Admiral Tennant had been made a joint chief. Motti, Tag, and others had received similar upgrades. Yularen's promotion especially had come as a relief to Tarkin, who had feared that the Emperor might assign him to Rancid's former position.
We need to tighten our hold over the outer systems, the Emperor continued. You will be in charge of that, Moff Tarkin. Or should I say, Grand Moff Tarkin?
Tarkin gaped in genuine surprise.
Grand Moff?
The Empire's first.
The Emperor spread his sickly hands.
Was it not you who suggested the creation of oversectors and oversector governance as a means of enhancing our control?
It was, my lord.
Then your wish is granted. The Outer Rim is yours to oversee. And with it, Grand Moff Tarkin, the whole of the Mobile Battle Station project.
Tarkin rose from his chair so he could bow from the waist in frank obedience.
I will not fail you.
When he looked up, he saw that the Emperor was leaning forward in his chair.
It will be a momentous responsibility,
the Emperor said, drawing out the words.
For once the battle station is fully operational, you will wield the ultimate power in the galaxy.
Tarkin's gaze moved from the Emperor to Vader and back again.
I don't believe that will ever be the case, my lord.
Considering that the Emperor had created the title Grand Moff for Tarkin, he had not been promoted so much as escalated. No secret was made of it, in any case, except regarding his oversight of the battle station project. And for the 2 weeks that he remained on the galactic capital, following the meeting with the Emperor and Vader, he was honored and feted wherever he went. He granted lengthy interviews to top media outlets throughout the Corps, announcing his intention to embark on a tour of the major systems of the Outer Rim, beginning with his native Iriadu. None of the interviewers pressed him about where he had spent the past 3 years, and no one brought up Antar IV. It was as if the post-war events that had occurred on the Gotal moon had passed into ancient history, or mythology. The recent attacks on facilities in the outer and mid-rim, as well as the holovids that had been circulated, were made to seem part of an imperial plan to root out dissident cells. Tarkin was quoted as saying, "The factor that contributed most to the demise of the Republic was not in fact the war, but rampant self-interest. Endemic to the political process our ancestors engineered, the insidious pursuit of self-enrichment grew only more pervasive through the long centuries, and in the end left the body politic feckless and corrupt. Consider the self-interest of the core worlds, unwavering in their exploitation of the outer systems for resources. The outer systems themselves, undermined by their permissive disregard of smuggling and slavery. Those ambitious members of the Senate who sought only status and opportunity. The reason our Emperor was able to negotiate the dark waters that characterized the terminal years of the Republic and remain at the helm through a catastrophic war that spanned the galaxy
is that he has never been interested in status or self-glorification. On the contrary, he has been tireless in his devotion to unify the galaxy and assure the well-being of its myriad populations. Now, with the institution of sector and over-sector governance, we are in the unique position to repay our debt to the Emperor for his decades of selfless service by lifting some of the burden of quotidian rulership from his shoulders. By partitioning the galaxy into regions, we actually achieve a unity previously absent. Where once our loyalties and allegiances were divided, they now serve one being, with one goal: a cohesive galaxy in which everyone prospers. For the first time in 1,000 generations, our sector governors will not be working solely to enrich Coruscant and the core worlds, but to advance the quality of life in the star systems that make up each sector, keeping the spaceways safe, maintaining open and accessible communications, assuring that tax revenues are properly levied and allocated to improving the infrastructure. The Senate will likewise be made up of beings devoted not to their own enrichment, but to the enrichment of the worlds they represent. This bold vision of the future requires not only the service of those of immaculate reputation and consummate skill in the just exercise of power, but also the service of a vast military dedicated to upholding the laws necessary to ensure galactic harmony. It may appear to some that the enactment of universal laws and the widespread deployment of a heavily armed military are steps toward galactic domination, but these actions are taken merely to protect us from those who would invade, enslave,